Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see each and every one of you. Praise the Lord. How many of you came expecting? Yeah. How many of you brought your spoon, fork, and knife? Lift your Bibles up, and let's declare this morning. I believe the Bible is God's Word. From cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, I am who God says that I am. I can do what God says I can do. There's nothing that I cannot do, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And therefore, I have a can-do attitude. My mind is focused. My heart is engaged. I'm ready to receive the Word of God, which is the living, active, full of energy and power to transform, to change, and to renew my mind, my thoughts, into the mind of Christ, so that I think like God. Therefore, I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, and everybody give a shout. Amen and amen. Thank you. Well, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 27 to 30. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. How many of you know there's no growth without struggle? There's no growth without struggle. That's not my title, but we can run with that. You know, generally speaking, and what I mean generally speaking, you know, we live in a fallen world, right? Ever since Adam and Eve sinned and transgressed against God, right? The whole world, the world that they lived in, changed, right? Because of sin had entered into the world. The Bible says that there's none righteous, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So when I say generally speaking, that's what I'm referring to. We live in a fallen world. And Jesus came, right, to save us or to rescue us from the sin that is in this world. Sin, sickness, and disease, right? Or the curse. So generally speaking, most people, no matter who they are or who you are facing some kind of challenge or struggle in their lives. Some people, maybe right here, might be struggling with your weight. Amen. Now, I was thinking about that. The struggle is not actually with your weight, right? Pastor, you're meddling. Well, that's the good kind of preaching. The struggle is not necessarily with your weight. The problem is the amount and what you are eating. Right? But we use the term, I'm struggling with my weight. Just saying. Some struggle with fear or some kind of phobia. Some struggle with some kind of illness or chronic pain. Some struggle with low self-esteem, a lack of confidence. Some struggle with depression. Some struggle with some kind of addiction, whether it's with drugs, whether it's gambling, or whether it's some kind of sexual pornography. They struggle. Some struggle with the loss of a job. Some struggle with a failed marriage, or simply being overwhelmed with life and everyday decisions that they have to make. But the point is, we all struggle in life, even as believers, in various capacities. But somebody say, but God. But God has given to us divine strength, His divine strength and His grace to persevere and to endure through the struggle. Somebody say, through the struggle. Onto the other side of victory. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
You know, the psalmist said, though I walk through, right? Though I walk through, he said, I'm not setting up camp there. I'm not living there. I'm just passing through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are there, Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are the good shepherd. Listen, church, the struggle can be painful, but it's temporal. It's subject to change. The moment your attitude changes, how you perceive that struggle. And pretty much that struggle is history. It's gone when your attitude changes about that struggle. Because there's something about that struggle. Amen. And the rewards of the victory to persevere over it is so much sweeter and gratifying. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
So reading in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30, I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. And on the topic of that chapter, it says, live as citizens of heaven. Live as citizens of heaven. How many of you know, as God's people, we are ambassadors. We are representatives, right, of God's kingdom, are we not? Therefore, God expects us to live and to conduct ourselves accordingly in such a way that is pleasing to Him. Amen. What you mean, Pastor? To love as He loves with the love He's given to us. To love the unlovable. Amen. You want to test your spirituality? See if you love the unlovable. If you claim to be a spiritual person of stature, test and see that you love the unlovable. And you can determine how spiritual that you are. But to love the unlovable, to be kind to the unkind, to seek out the lost, to reach the unreachable, to touch the untouchable, to overcome evil with good. Praise God. And the Apostle Paul instructs and he encourages all believers, both in Philippi and the here and now, us. And he says in verse 27, he says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. When I was writing this, I remember this song that we often sing. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, of all the honor, and all the praise. It makes me want to shout. And that's what Paul is pretty much telling us. He's implying how we as believers ought to conduct ourselves. Just like that song. How to conduct ourselves when we first heard and experienced the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news? In fact, if you look up the term, it means good news at the battlefield. Yeah. When men were in the midst of war, they would hear good news, right? That the war was over. That's what the good news is implying. Amen. And he goes on. He says, then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, he said, whether I come or I don't come or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith. Or we can say fighting together to contend for the faith. Amen. Which is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 28, and he says, don't be intimidated. Don't be timid or fearful in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that are going to be destroyed. Why? Because they are rejecting the good news that is being shared. Right? In fact, Paul tells us in Corinthians, he says, the gospel, the message of the good news is the preaching of the cross to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And they are rejecting that news. And, you know, you'll come across family members or friends who reject that good news that you have to share. But that's okay. Because it's by their choice, right? Their decision of what they'll face in eternity. We're just the messengers of the good news. Amen? But that you are going to be saved even by God himself. Verse 29, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, somebody say, in God we trust, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are waiting for the coming of Jesus to return. We're trusting of what the word has said about Christ coming back to receive us, right? As his bride. But we are also privileged of suffering for him. We are experiencing great persecution as the body of Christ. That's what he's saying. We're trusting in God to come back and deliver us, but in the midst, we're trusting and suffering because of what we're going through for the gospel. Verse 30 says, we are in this struggle together. Paul includes himself in the struggle. We are all in this together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I'm still in the midst of it. What Paul is referring to is, who is the writer of this letter, what he's implying is, he's a prisoner. He's incarcerated in Rome. Amen. And that's why he makes the statement. We are in this struggle together. You are going through persecution because of the gospel. I'm in prison because of my preaching of the gospel. We're struggling all together to getting this word out. You have seen my struggle in the past. I've been in prison before. I've been released, but now I'm in prison again. And that's what he is making reference to. I, Paul, a prisoner for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning I want to entitle this message, there's benefits in the struggle. Somebody say, there's benefits in the struggle. Because if there's no struggle, no resistance, no opposition, there's no room for growth. I think I lost my hearing. Somebody anointed this morning, come lay hands on me. Because there's no struggle, resistance, or opposition, there's no room for growth. You know, and I thought about this. When you see a person, and I have, who's got muscles on muscles. You ever saw somebody muscles on muscles? Right? You say, boy, I sure wish I could have muscles like that. But how many of you know it's possible? I mean, not for the women, but for the guys. It's possible, but it's not automatic, right? You first got to commit yourself in going to a gym. Faithfully, consistently, working out, pumping on the iron till your arms and your legs feel like they're going to fall off, right? Because struggle will test your level of commitment. Your struggle will test your level of commitment. The only way you can truly gauge your level of commitment is through the struggle. Yeah. Especially lifting weights. It's an exercise by which you're using both positive and negative resistance. Using weights, dumbbells, barbells, whatever, by which you are literally ripping and tearing the muscles so it'll heal, it'll grow, and build back and become stronger. It's in the resistance. It's in the struggle of lifting those weights that equates growth, stamina, and strength. You listening to what I'm saying? I know I'm using a natural analogy, but there's a spiritual thing I want you to grab a hold of. Yes, the struggle can be uncomfortable. The struggle can be uncomfortable. It can be unpleasant, inconvenient, and sometimes painful. But despite of it, to persevere and to obtain victory and to overcome whatever the struggle you may be going through makes the reward so much sweeter and gratifying. Amen. Somebody said there's benefits, there's perks in the struggle. Are you receiving something this morning? There's something in the struggle that is necessary to become what God has purposed and destined us to be. Amen. Listen, church, the struggle is setting you up. Did you hear me? The struggle is setting you up for the greater that God has in store for you, to transition, for advancement, for promotion, to elevate you, to bring increase, to double you up in your troubles for your struggles. King David makes this statement in Psalms 119, verse 71. He said, it was good for me. Turn to the person next to you. Good for you. It was good for me. Listen, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Say what? Afflicted. What good can come out of affliction? What, Greg Molikins? It was good for me that I was afflicted, distressed, troubled, that I may learn your statutes. That I may learn and experience and master your statutes through afflictions. Just keep on eating, Marie. Just keep on eating. Just keep on pulling. The Message translation says, my troubles turn out for the best. They force me to learn from your textbook. What is the textbook? The book. The Bible. Right? The Bible. Right? The Bible means the book. 99 books in the Bible, which is God's basic instructions before what? Leaving earth. Right? You know, I believe the psalmist was implying that it was through the afflictions of that failed marriage, through the distress of the passing of that loved one, that soulmate. It was through the struggles of that addiction that I learned to trust your word. Yeah. You know, Andre Crouch wrote a song. He says, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon your word. Yes, I've learned to depend on his word. How many of you can say it was believing and holding on to the word of God during the struggle that brought me through? Amen. That brought me through. Brought me through my deliverance, my breakthrough, my healing, my restoration, my peace of mind, my financial increase. It was believing and holding on to the word of God during the struggle. Amen. But the reality is, what has actually made you what you are in Christ is the struggle. Amen. What you had to believe for, what you had to fight for, what you had to fight against, what you had to overcome. Amen. How many of you know there's a process called metamorphosis? You ever heard of that term, metamorphosis? Yeah. It's to change the form or nature of a thing or a person into a completely different one, by natural or by supernatural means, such as a caterpillar, right? A caterpillar. Amazingly changed and transforms from one earthbound worm into a beautiful butterfly. There's a transformation. There's a metamorphosis that takes place, right? In fact, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, right? Which is your reasonable service unto God, your reasonable worship unto God. And he says, be not conformed to this world. Do not be like this world, its attitude, its behavior, right? Its ideology. Do not be conformed to this world system. And he uses the word, but be ye transformed. That's the word metamorphosis. Be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That you may know how to, that you may know what is the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So the renewing of the mind, the metamorphosis of the transformation takes place by the renewing of your mind. You begin to think like God thinks. But it takes a process. Amen. And that's what I'm talking about, the metamorphosis of the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. But the process, the transformation, involves a struggle. I'm speaking about the caterpillar. To cut short the struggle will rob the butterfly of its true destiny. Amen. You guys follow me. And what I mean by that, there's a story about a family who bought two cocoons that were about to hatch, and they watched the first one open, and the butterfly inside began to squeeze slowly and painfully through the tiny hole It had chewed on one side of the cocoon. It began to squeeze itself out. And after laying exhausted for 10 minutes, for about 10 minutes, the butterfly began to stretch its wings and it flew out the window. So the family decided to help the second butterfly by cutting the cocoon with a razor blade, so it wouldn't have to go through the struggle as the first one. But sadly, this butterfly never did sprout wings. In about 10 minutes, it died. And they found out later why the reason was. It is through the struggle to emerge out from that small hole of that cocoon that causes liquids to push deep into the butterfly's body cavity and into its tiny capillary veins in its wings where it hardens. It's in the struggle. It begins to strengthen and develop its wings that completes the butterfly to become beautiful and healthy. So, Pastor, what is the lesson? The lesson is, without the struggle, there's no wings. You see, to cut the struggle short is to rob the butterfly of its true destiny, and that is to fly. Here's the thing, whether you realize it or not, church, there's something in the struggle that is necessary for each and every one of us to become what God has destined you to become. And to cut short that struggle is to rob you of your true destiny. Yeah. Your true destiny in Christ. You know, a baby chick in the egg goes through a process as well. A process of growth inside of the egg until it begins to outgrow the egg, right? It begins to grow in the egg and it begins to outgrow the egg, right? So it must pick its way out of the egg from the inside. Again, to cut short the struggle would injure or even kill the baby chick. Similar to the butterfly, it's through the struggle that it gains its strength that it needs to survive and to thrive in its new environment. Amen. Do you follow me, what I'm saying? Somebody say there's benefits in the struggle. Here's one of many benefits to your struggle. Your struggle will qualify you to help others in their struggle. To help others who are going through the same struggle that God delivered you out from. Amen. You know, I have a compassion for people who suffer from back pain because God delivered me and brought me out from back pain. The doctor told me I would be in the bed for a whole month because of my back. But in a week, God healed me. So I know the feeling of somebody who is enduring much pain in their backs. Through that struggle, because I went through that struggle, and I was able to go through it, and God was faithful. So I have compassion for those who have back problems. Amen. You see, when you've been through something, right, you can help somebody else. Praise God. You know, when you stood your ground, how many of you stood your ground? In having done all but you stood against the wiles of the devil, and you fought tooth and nail and conquered your giants. Guess what? You qualified through the school of hard knocks to help somebody else through their battles and through their struggles. Amen. God will use you. Hallelujah. You know, for the sake of time, and I'm just going to paraphrase, but you can read it for yourself in Genesis chapter 37. You can read about Joseph's personal struggles that he had, that he had to endure and persevere throughout his life. It's a wonderful story. But he had to persevere throughout his life. Some personal struggles. For example, Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Amen. And because of that, maybe he struggled with rejection, right? And probably betrayal by the very ones who supposedly loved him. Joseph worked as a servant for Potiphar, and he was falsely accused for a baseless crime of rape that he did not commit. Yet he ends up in prison. And no doubt he struggles with shame of being falsely accused and slandered. Amen. He struggles. Not for doing wrong, but for doing the right thing and living right before God. It's one thing to live only all kind of ways, you know, do whatever you want and get caught. But he's living right. He's doing right. Right? He's living right before God. And yet, he gets blamed for a crime that he did not commit. Amen. Why? Because he guarded his heart. He filtered his thoughts. And he acted and he behaved right. Amen. How many of you know you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Yeah. And there is a factor that to understand your righteousness in Christ, your right standing with Christ, right? Your right relationship with Him. There's a requirement that God requires of us, how to live based on that righteousness. And as I spoke earlier, as people of God, ambassadors of Christ, there's a way that God expects us to act and to behave based on your righteousness with God. And as you grow in your righteousness in Christ, you begin to understand that I need to think right based on my right standing with God. I cannot think all kinds of ways like the world. Because if I do that, then I'm going to act wrong. I'm going to be a Christian, but I'm going to act wrong because I'm thinking wrong. I'm still thinking like the world. That's why I said, be renewed in your mind, right? The transformation takes place in your thoughts. Amen. And God uses Joseph's struggles as a stepping stone in setting him up for the greater. Amen. Because he guarded his heart, he kept his thoughts right, not realizing that God was setting him up through his struggles. Was it that song we sing, even though we can't see him, he's working? That's a true fact. God's working, even when we can't see him. He's working. Yeah, 24/7. And he's setting Joseph up for the greater that God had in store for him. And if you fast forward that whole story, for time's sake, you see Joseph go from the outhouse, right? The outhouse to the prison house, into the White House, then into the penthouse. Amen. You see the greater. He gets promoted, he gets elevated as the prime minister in Egypt, second in command to Pharaoh himself. Amen. Now think about this. Joseph was 17 years old, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers. But when he was promoted to vice regent to Pharaoh, he was 30 years old. That's 13 years of struggle that he persevered. And your 2-3 days of persevering You complaining to God? Just saying. Just throwing that out. 13 years he persevered. And what is so beautiful about reading this story about Joseph was that through all the struggles, the rejection, being falsely accused, being forgotten, slandered, betrayed, he became better. He became a better person, not a bitter person. Yeah. Because he could have taken all those struggles and become very, very bitter, an ugly person. But he chose not to. Because he knew somewhere in the struggle that God has destined him to use the struggle to benefit him. Amen. He became better, not bitter. He gifted his brothers by forgiving them. Forgiveness is a gift. Yeah. It's a gift that you choose to give for yourself. To release people. Yeah. It's a gift to yourself. Not to the people that you're forgiving. So if you go into unforgiveness, gift yourself with forgiveness. Because it will set you free. He didn't murmur. He never complained or resented or blamed God at all. I believe he praised God anyway through the struggle. I believe he worshiped God anyway through the struggle. Not because of the situation, but in spite of it. There's lessons to be learned about Joseph's life. And as I was studying this, in fact, the Lord showed me this. He said, in fact, the Lord blesses Joseph. Not only promotes him, elevates him, restores his relationship with his brothers and his family, but the Lord blesses Joseph with two sons. And he names his firstborn Manasseh. Manasseh, which means the Lord has made me forget all my toils, all my struggles in my father's house. Isn't that amazing? He caused me to forget all of that stuff I went through. So he names his son Manasseh to remind himself of the goodness of God. And then he names his second son Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. In my distress. You can read the whole story in Genesis 41. So church, there's benefits in the struggle. The struggle is just a setup for the greater that God has for you. Amen. In fact, Jesus makes this statement in John chapter 16, verse 21. I'm reading this from the Good News Translation. And Jesus said, and this, ladies, this is for you. When a woman, praise God, we got women in here, right? All biological women, praise the Lord. Real women. It's funny you got to say stuff like that nowadays. I like what Brother Jesse said. Hey, you confused about what gender you are? Just look down. You know how Brother Jesse is, right? That will clear up all your confusion. But Jesus says, when a woman is about to give birth, she is sad because the hour of her suffering has come. What is that suffering? There's a struggle that's about to take place. Ladies, what is it? What is it called? Labor pains. Now, as I said, only a sensible, common sense person knows that only real biological women can experience the joy of bittersweet moment of childbearing. Amen. Never listen or pay attention to those kind of foolishness and craziness and nonsense. Yeah, something wrong up here. But he says, when the baby is born, right? She's going through this struggle of birth pains, of labor pains. But when the baby is born, she forgets her suffering, the struggle. Why? Because she's happy that the baby has been born into the world. Amen. There's joy in the struggle. When we understand what the struggle is all about. Amen. The Bible says, teach and train up the way, train up your child in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they shall not depart from it. Amen. I won't spend too much time on this, but as parents and grandparents whom God has blessed and to love our children and grandchildren, right? We are called to be stewards of those children. And we are required to teach and to train them up in the ways of the Lord. Amen. We're to be stewards. Everything that we have is not ours. We're just stewards over all that God has given to us, whether it's your finances, right? Whether it's your children, everything that we have, whether it's your seed, whatever. We're just managers. We're just stewards over what God has given to us. Because if we're stewards, right, then whenever God needs them, he can have them. It's yours. So we're stewards. We're not to be our kids' or grandkids' best friends. They're best buddies, right? We're there to assist and not to enable. Enabler is one who allows a child to avoid any kind of struggles in their lives, whether it's uncomfortable situations that life may bring. I think you and I were talking, James, the other day about the kids, yeah? How you were teaching JJ how to, you know. And that's a good thing. And a lot of our parents do a disservice to their kids when we enable them. How? By not disciplining them. Not making them accountable for their mistakes, their actions. There's consequences when you do this. You know, some of us, and maybe you here this morning, most of us here this morning, we know what it feels like to go without the basic necessities. I mean, in our family, we had to wear hand-me-downs from the older kids. And by the time we got them, it was all puka. And we would, back then they had those patches you could buy, right? And then you put them over the puka, and then you iron them, and then you patch up that hole, and then, oh, it looks brand new again. To go borrow rice from your next door neighbor. When times were lean. Check this one out. To walk when you needed to go someplace. Walk, what is that walk? Yeah, walk with your 2 feet. You want to go there? Go walk. Go ahead, go. There's benefits in the struggle. Why? Because you grow in the struggle. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I'm reading this from the Passion. And Paul says, all praises belong to the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the Father of tender mercies and the God of endless comfort. He always comes alongside of us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in painful trials. Yeah. As we go through our sufferings, praise God for the Holy Ghost, who is the Comforter, who comes alongside of us and He helps us through those times of struggle. And when He brings us through, we can become and walk along others who are going through that same trial or tribulation for themselves. How many of you know you get to know yourself, what you're made of in the struggle? Yeah. You discover who you are in the struggle. I remember hearing this story about the Alaskan pipelines, these oil pipelines, these pipelines that came down from Alaska, these huge pipelines that would funnel the oil from Alaska to the United States. And every so often, they would have to replace some of these pipelines. And before they weld on these new pipes, they would test this pipe before they install it. And what they would do is they would plug up both ends of the pipes, these huge pipes. They would plug both ends up, and they would pump in this high pressure of water into it. And this thing would pump up to almost 3,000 pounds PSI. I mean, that pipe would be vibrating with so much pressure going in. What are they doing? They're trying to see if that pipe has any cracks. And if that pressure was pumped up that high, they would see leaks that spring up from that pipe. It's brand new pipes. And what they would do is remove the pressure, spot weld those cracks or whatever, and then pump it up again to make sure that the pipe was completely able to be used. There was no cracks or flaws. But the pressure was able to reveal if there was any cracks in it. Yeah. So the struggle, right? The struggle reveals who we are when we're under pressure. Why? Because the real you comes out under pressure. When you're under pressure, who shows up? Who shows up under pressure? Is it Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? Is it the good brother or the evil brother? I remember I was in prison doing one of my classes, and one of the brothers there, he said, "Hey, you are so and so brother, right? I saw your last name." I said, "Yeah, that's my brother. He's a sergeant. He's an ACO." He says, "Oh," and he makes this comment. He goes, "Oh, you must be the good brother." I said, "What?" "Yeah, because your brother, oh, he's..." I said, "Hey, he's only doing his job, right? If you listen and you obey, you don't get any flack from him. But if you disobey and you flack with him, he'll put you in your place, you know? So he's not a bad brother. He's a good brother to me, right?" "You're the good one and he's the bad one." Oh, my goodness. Well, the truth is, if you're under pressure, you shouldn't be there anyway, right? We shouldn't be under pressure, right? Paul says to cast all your cares upon Him, right? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that weary and heavy laden," right? "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Take your yoke upon me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Here's one thing, and I'll try to close here. One thing that is going to really help you this morning through your struggle is to know the amount of people that you are going to help and encourage because of your courageous persistence of what you went through with your struggle. There's a lot of people that you'd be able to help and bring them through. Yes, I may be going through a struggle, but I'm learning and growing in the midst of it. Amen. We're developing some spiritual muscles. We're developing compassion through the struggle. Right? Remember when I said when I see people with back pain, it's through that struggle I learned to become compassionate towards them. Prior to that, it's like, oh, okay, you got a back pain. Through the struggle, you receive some patience, some endurance. Amen. So there's benefits in the struggle. We grow in the struggle. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God has given to us, like I said, God has given to us divine strength and grace to persevere and to endure through the struggle onto the other side of victory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You received the word this morning?